Well, look out, ladies and gentlemen. At 1:35, this is the other side of midnight. There are wolves, not just in London, but right here in this studio. More accurately, there is a wolf. I am very, very pleased to be joined by my friend Bob Wolf. I've become a big fan of Bob Wolf. As you'll hear in a second, he has, of everyone you'll hear on this radio program tonight, including me, he has the best radio voice. I just want to listen to him. I don't know, couldn't even care less what he was speaking about, but he just sounds so good. He's the kind of person you just sit there and listen to. So I look for every excuse possible to have him on the radio. And I'm very grateful to our friend Gary Krupp for introducing me to Mr. Wolf a few years ago and telling me about the exciting programs, which you'll hear about in just a second, that he's responsible for. And I've had Bob on my Long Island program, which everybody should be listening to, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And the response that I've gotten the couple of times that I've had Bob on has been phenomenal. And it's especially given what's happening now in society and in schools, something that I thought you would benefit from. Gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome the founder and driving force behind Hope, Bob Wolf. Hello, Bob.
Good evening, Frank, and thanks for that fantastic introduction. You should talk to my wife and tell her how you feel. My voice is so wonderful. She's heard it for a number of years now, and I'm not quite sure she would agree with you all the time.
Now, Bob, this is a lot of people's first time hearing you. Explain to folks what it is that you do. I know you have a varied and impressive resume. You've been a sales trainer, a motivational speaker, sales and marketing executive. As surprises as no one that just heard you, you've been a commercial voiceover actor. But tell folks what it is that you do with Hope, and how is this the Students Bridge to Business program? What is it?
Well, 21 years ago, I changed my career path from helping businesses grow to helping students grow. And what I do is I teach and demonstrate five skills that help bridge a very, very significant growing skills gap between what schools teach and what businesses are looking for in graduates and students. Skills that are essentially critically important in everything we do in life. The skills that build on each other. So, for example, they are first impression skills, interpersonal skills, communication skills, presentation skills, and the last one is called selling skills, which you and I do every single day of our life. Mm. And yet we don't tell students how important these skills are, especially selling skills.
So you actually teach students in high school?
I started off by teaching one-on-one. Kids graduated college and not able to find a job, not able to find interviews, didn't know how to interview. And then I began going to colleges and I began talking to graduating juniors and seniors who were going to be looking for internships and jobs. So right now I teach schools from middle school through high school through college and graduate school. I teach one-on-one. I teach businesses, profit and not-for-profit when they hire people. I teach their management teams. I'm involved working with BOCES programs on Long Island and in New York State. I've worked with United Way Youth Build programs where you have adult learners struggling to find that first job, and maybe they didn't go to college. And by the way, not every student has to go to college at 18 years old. Mm. Yet you still need these skills because these are the skills that are required to meet and earn support from people.
So it's amazing to me that every school in America doesn't have someone like you training students in this respect, because the skills that you're teaching they're skills that are vital to every aspect of life, and they're in short supply among both young people and adults. And people just tuning in, we're talking with Bob Wolf. He's the founder of Hope. Hope is an acronym. What does Hope stand for?
Well, I got trademarks on the word hope and help other people excel for training, motivation, and education almost 22 years ago. And that's what made me transition from helping businesses to helping kids, because kids today struggle. And you know they struggle because they've got technology in front of them 24/7, 4 to 6 hours a day they spend in front of their screen or their social media. And they're losing the ability to do what you and I are doing right now.
How people in our audience may remember courses with the name of public speaking when
Absolutely.
They were in school. Is what you're doing, how is what you're doing different than those old public speaking courses that people may remember?
Well, it's a good question because public speaking, when I started this, people said, well, what do you do? You teach public speaking? I said, well, not really. In order to be a public speaker, you first have to connect with the people you're speaking to. You've got to learn about them. You've got to get to know them. You've got to relate to them. You have to understand their wants, their needs, their must-haves. So public speaking is a little bit of what I do. That falls into the communication phase because there's five ways we communicate. And there's five ways you make a first impression. And there's four ways you have interpersonal skills. So the reality is public speaking today is not taught as a mandatory subject in any school.
Yeah.
It's an elective if it's taught at all in
school. So public speaking is a component of what you do, but by no means the whole of what you do.
No, that's correct. And what's ironic about what we're talking about is the number one fear in life, as you know, is public speaking. So when I did this the first time at a high school in Long Island, probably 18, 19 years ago, I spoke to a public speaking class, and the kids there knew me from coaching what I did, youth sports. And afterwards, the teacher said to me, you know, Bob, that's great. He said, I said, well, wait a minute, Larry, why do you call it public speaking? It's the number one fear in life. Why don't you change the name of the course? Because nobody takes public speaking, Frank. They don't take it. They're fearful of it. And right. If they do take it and they have to take it, they wait till their junior or senior year and they panic while they're going through it. When in fact, what you do every day with your friends, you speak in public. So we've got to remove the fear. We've got to remove the stigma. Two students have said to me from graduate school, I can't do what you do, Bob. There's no way I can do what you do. And I say, yes, you can. You do it every day. You just don't think about it because you do it with your friends. You say, what you and I do, we speak to people we don't know.
You know, when we see what is actually being taught in schools, I've been pretty vocal about the decline and reduction in civic education and social studies education. But yeah. Aside from that, what we do see being taught is science, technology, engineering, and math. We're told repeatedly that if American kids, American students are going to compete on the world stage, we need to be investing even more in STEM education. Why do you think that the skills you're teaching are potentially as important as the kind of STEM skills that we're hearing so much about?
Well, to be honest, I actually think they're much more important than STEM at all. And STEM used to be STEAM. There was an A in STEM. It was for the arts. And the arts were taken out of STEM because that's where the money is coming from in the state of New York. It goes to STEM, not STEAM. In fact, the only thing that's the same in any kind of a job and any type of work you do is people. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
Everything. So why not deal with the skills that allow you to meet, earn support from, and work effectively with people, whether you go to college or not? And frankly, we don't teach them for two reasons. One, we can't test for them. And two, colleges don't require them for admission.
So let's say somebody's listening to this and say, wait a minute. I have a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old that's going to begin the college application process now. This is exactly the kind of skill set I'd love my teenager to have. Or let's say we have school administrators listening to this and say, wait, I'd love to have this guy come and talk with our students. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, people get in touch with me by usually reference and word of mouth. For example, I'm fortunate to work with the school system in New York City. I work with District 31 on Staten Island. And there's some phenomenal schools and principals over there who realize the value of what I do. New Dorp High School, which is a compulsory New York public school with a very diverse student population. Staten Island Technical High School is a very test-oriented to get into high school. Yet the diversity in those student bodies, when I'm in speaking to them, gives me the same feedback. So any parent that's interested in what their child will do in life needs to have those skills foremost in the child's mind. And the reason they're not taught is because I'm told guidance counselors teach this in high school, and they don't. Career counselors teach this in college, and they don't. So it's a little confusing to me why all schools don't teach these.
I want to encourage people, if you do fit into one of these categories, if you think you could benefit from the HOPE program that Bob Wolf has pioneered, you can go to the website hopeskills.com. That's hopeskills.com. You know, Bob, if you Google 85% of new hires need soft skills, what do you see?
Well, I see two conflicts and I see a contradiction. why would you call skills, like I've just described, soft in the first place? They're not soft in any sense of the word. They're hardcore foundation skills to meet and deal with people. They're the only skills that will get you into an interview. Let me put it this way. Those five skills do five things. They help you interview successfully, and you will interview a lot today if you're a student, because the average student today will have 12 to 15 jobs during their career. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, not Bob Wolf. Then they help you network effectively, and students have no idea what networking really is and how you network, when you network, and where you network. The third thing that they do is they help you build supportive relationships, because as you and I know, Frank, you mentioned a gentleman, Gary Krupp, that introduced us. We're never successful in our life by ourselves. Mm. People have opened doors for you, I'm sure, and you can name dozens, if not hundreds, of people that helped you in your life to get to where you are. At my stage of life, I can literally name the people that hired me, trained me, motivated me, customers for me, distributors for me, by name, because you don't forget the names of the people who helped you in your life. The fourth thing that these skills do is they help you become a productive team player, because nothing that we do in life, we do by ourselves. You're not running this studio and this radio station without the gentleman on the other side of that glass.
That is for sure. You know, mentioning radio, I have known for decades that this is the career that I wanted to pursue. And one of my favorite radio talk show hosts was and is Rush Limbaugh. And I was very, very eager decades ago. This is long before there's podcasts or anything like that. When I hear Rush Limbaugh giving advice to a caller that wanted to go into radio, and I said, this is exactly what I've been waiting to hear, right? Uh-huh. So I bring out a piece of paper and I write down the 10 or 11 really solid tips that Rush Limbaugh gave this caller years ago. And the first or second one was one of the most fundamentally life-changing things I've ever heard in my life. And what Rush said was, learn to read, write, and speak the English language to the best of your ability, because whether it's true or not, you will give people the impression that you're very intelligent. And I have I still have this set of rules in my on my office wall, and I look at it every day. And that one, more than anything that I've ever heard in school, in college, in books, that one bit of wisdom has been transformative in my life. And that is, it seems to me, the very same thing, at least a part of what you're doing, that's transforming students' lives and helping them actually be career ready.
Well, I didn't know that's what was his sort of guideline to become successful in life. But my feeling is, and it's a theory I've created, you can't know enough good people in this world, and you never know who they are and when you're going to meet them. So in order to do that, you have to know how to make a good first impression. You have to have good interpersonal skills like manners and common courtesy and being polite and being respectful. You have to know how to communicate verbally, because that's important. And I learned when I took my first commercial acting classes that when I was in my early 30s, I didn't know how to speak very well, because I didn't smile when I spoke. I was serious, and I used my voice to get people's attention. But then I learned that if you smile when you speak, people can hear it. It
makes every difference in the world.
It makes a huge difference. So I do believe that the ability to speak well and write well, speak clearly, and learn how to communicate. By the way, you communicate five ways: speaking, listening, writing, physical, and emotional. And all of those five ways come into play when you deal with people that you meet for the first time.
Final question, Bob. We're seeing now more and more schools move towards remote learning. It may end up being the case in New York City, possibly as soon as this week, that all the students move towards remote learning. How does the movement towards remote learning or hybrid education, not just in New York City, but in school districts around the country, how does that hinder or help the sort of skills that you're talking about?
Well, it atrophies them, simply because the student, for the most part, when they're at home and remote learning, and I've done Zoom presentations, many times you will not see the student's face. You will see an avatar. You will see a figure that they've selected. And in reality, I want to see the person or persons I'm speaking with. I want to read their body language. I want to see if I'm connecting with them. And we don't know whether they're connecting with us because we can't see their faces. We can't see their body language. And body language, by the way, is 60% of effective communication. So the inability to see who you're talking to and to get their facial expressions and watch them. Are they paying attention? Are they looking somewhere else? Are they even there? So this remote learning has created a real significant problem for the principals and the teachers and the guidance people because they don't know if the person they're teaching is actually there.
Yeah, it's so important. I do encourage everybody to visit Bob's website, hopeskills.com, if you're a teacher, if you're a tutor, if you're a parent, or if you're a person. You should check out some of the skills that Bob outlines and see how you might be able to utilize this training in your school, your workplace, your home. Hopeskills.com. Bob, thank you so much for the time this evening.
You're welcome, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here.